You are in the right place right now. Welcome, everyone. You're tuned to Revival Radio, and we're so glad you could join us today. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Menifee, California. And today, Pastor John Miller continues his series in 2 Timothy called Living Faithfully. The Apostle Paul writes, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, we learn about Paul's pattern for ministry. Let's join Pastor John Miller right now with the message, The Duties of a Steadfast Minister.
And you may kind of write yourself off and say, well, I don't really have any talents. I'm not that smart. I don't have any great abilities. And my thought is that you're a candidate for the glory of God. Because the Bible says God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God's chosen the weak things, the base things, the things which are not to bring to naught, the things that are, so that no flesh will glory in his presence. When you see God using somebody wonderfully, you shouldn't think immediately, well, it's because that they're so smart or they're so talented or they're so gifted. No, they're just a candidate for the glory of God. Weak thing, base thing, despised thing, that God might use them for his glory. That's what God does. God doesn't look for great ability or great talent. God just looks for availability and finality or faithfulness to what God gives you to do. So pick out faithful men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says that the number one quality of a minister should be faithfulness to God and to his word and to God's people. And then notice also that these people or these men who are to be entrusted with the word of God were also to be able to do what? To teach others. Teach, 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 teach. You know, the church is to be a teaching ministry. Some people are surprised when they come to revival and they actually learn the Bible. They go, wow, this is awesome. Well, what else are you supposed to learn? Wow, I come to this church, I'm really learning my Bible. I hope you do. Shame on us if we're not learning the Word of God. And you're to be commended. You're out on a Wednesday night. I know it's a challenge. But we're having a Bible study. You're learning God's Word. The church is to be a teaching institution. Yes, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. We're to go out and reach the lost, but we're also to gather and to congregate, to edify and to build up one another. And the number one way we do that is in God's Word. Now, let me say something lest I forget. I'm preaching everything I preach tonight. I'm preaching without notes. All I have is my text in front of me. So if I wonder, you wonder why I'm kind of figuring out what to say. It's just coming to me as I talk. Doesn't mean I didn't study and do my homework, okay? In the Catholic Church, they have what they think is a direct succession in their Pope from Peter, handed down, you know, hand on hand, that, you know, Peter was the first Pope, and then he handed it down, and he handed it down, and they think they have this apostolic succession. The Mormon Church today, now, I don't put the Roman Catholic Church in the same category as the Roman Church, so forgive me by mentioning them in the same breath. But they do believe that they have apostles handed down by direct succession. That's not what this verse is teaching. And some actually turn to this verse to try to prove that point. Notice that he wasn't laying his hands on men who had the authority. He was passing the teaching of the Apostle Paul to the next generation. Now, notice it first came to Paul from Jesus, then it went from Paul to Timothy, then it went from Timothy to others, then went from others to others. And guess what? It's come to me, and I'm sharing it with you. And guess where it's found? In the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible, amen? So it's not this apostolic chain of succession coming down. Do you have a living apostles today? Well, no, we don't. But we have apostolic doctrine, and it's found and contained in the Bible, the Word of God. Your Bible came from God through Paul to Timothy and to us. We have God's Word, and it doesn't change, and it never changes. The same message that Paul preached to Timothy We preach to you tonight. And if it's not, again, shame on us. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. And my job is not only to teach the congregation, but to find faithful men. Faithful men who are apt to teach. And one of the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy 3 is apt to teach, able to teach. And then instruct them and teach them and train them in the doctrines and how to present God's Word. So, number one, the duty of being strong in God's grace. And number two, the duty of transmitting God's truth, God's Word, to the next generation. It's like passing the torch. It's like a relay race. I think relay races are pretty cool, where you pass the baton and the next runner has his leg, and then you pass the baton and the next runner has their leg. What would you think of one guy in one point of that relay race that was halfway through with his baton and he just said, oh, forget it, threw the baton down and sat down? I don't feel like running. What about the guys that have already ran? They're not going to be too happy. What about the guys that are yet to have run? What about your relay team? They're going to, what did you do? We've worked hard. We've trained. We committed to this, and we all have to work hard together. You have to pass it down. What if Paul hadn't passed it to Timothy? What if Timothy hadn't passed it on? It wouldn't come to us. You wouldn't have a Bible right now. Do you know that in church history, men and women actually gave their lives for you to actually have a Bible right now? They actually suffered and died so you could have the Word of God. And they were persecuted and opposed and put to death to bring you the doctrines of God's Word. And yet we take it so cavalier, and we don't really think about our responsibility. Now, I know the context is pastor teaching other men who can teach other people and other men. But I believe that you have a responsibility. If you come on Wednesdays and Sundays and other nights of the week, and you come to fit class and other doctrine class and small group class, you have a responsibility to find somebody who doesn't know what you know and to pass on your knowledge. Take it home and share it with your husband. Take it home, share it with your wife, share it with your kids, share it with someone at work. Get a small group together and teach them what you've learned. One of the best ways to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is to teach other people. You know, when I study, I get blessed. When I teach, I get doubly blessed. And when you learn and you grow, I get blessed again. So if you want to be blessed, pass on what God has given to you. Don't be a reservoir, be a conduit. Be a channel of what God has given you to be a blessing to others. It's not enough just to sit and to learn and gain information. You have to pass it on. And you're only going to retain and be really blessed by what you learn if you pass it on. And you know, when you teach somebody else, that's when it really solidifies it in your own heart and in your own mind when you're teaching others. We need to move on. There's a third duty or responsibility. It's the duty of steadfast endurance for the sake of the gospel. And this is the heart and soul of this passage, verse 3 down to verse 6, where Paul's going to paint three pictures. It's been said that a picture's worth what? 1,000 words, right? So Paul paints a picture, three pictures, that the Christian life, and especially the minister, is a soldier, he's an athlete, and he's a farmer. Let's look at them. So he says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, if any man strive for the masteries, he's talking about the Greek athletic games, if he's an athlete, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And then the farmer, verse 6, the husbandman that labors must first be partaker of the fruits. Now, Paul is encouraging Timothy to steadfast endurance in his gospel ministry. So he starts by painting the picture of a soldier. Someone said the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground, right? Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 and says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're all in a spiritual warfare. And especially those who are in ministry or active ministry, especially those who are preaching and teaching the word, you discover there really is a devil. I heard a guy that was preaching on a street corner one day, and someone started heckling him and saying, you Christians, you all believe in the devil. I've never met the devil. I've never encountered the devil. And the preacher so wisely said, it's because you're going the same direction he is. You turn and you go the other direction, you're going to run right into the devil, right? If you're going the same way, you're not going to encounter him. So you start serving the Lord, you're going to realize that, hey, there's a spiritual war going on. But Paul here is not so much talking about spiritual warfare as he's just drawing from the imagery of a soldier. And the idea is a soldier faces hardship and difficulty, and he has to stay focused, and he doesn't get involved with things of the world so that he can please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Let's look at it. Verse 3, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I've never been in the military, obviously, so I've never been in war. I've never been, you know, an active duty military. I've never seen. But anytime I've looked at it, studied it, watched movies, read books, I'm overwhelmed by the rigor and the hardships and the difficulties that they face. You think about the hardships that the American troops faced in World War II in Europe, driving Hitler's forces back. You think about the soldiers that were in Vietnam and the difficulties and the rigors, days without eating, you know, bloodshot eyes, watching for the enemy, sleeping in a foxhole, eating horrible food, fighting the enemy, just the difficulties. It's hard. And Paul is actually conveying that concept here that serving the Lord can be difficult. It's not a cakewalk. It's not easy. It's hard. So he's telling Timothy, yes, it's difficult. You are a soldier. Be willing to endure hardships, hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he says, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So he's saying that if you're in active duty and you're in a war, an enemy is attacking, you're not worried about, you know, did someone mow my lawn? Someone scratched my car? Oh, what's the economy doing? What's on TV tonight? What's happening? You are focused on the battle at hand. You're not involved in things of this world. You're not distracted. Now, he's not saying that a pastor can't have side employment or a secular job on the side. Paul was a tent maker, but he's actually just saying that as a minister, you should stay focused. Don't get entangled. The word entangled is the word entwined or wrapped up in the affairs of this life. Let your contact with the world be as light as possible. You know, you just have your canteen, you have your food rations, you have your pack, you have your weapon, you have your helmet. And man, you're out there in the battle zone. You don't carry a lot of things with you. You let your contact with the world be as light as possible. A lot of times, even as Christians, we get bogged down serving the Lord because we are so worried about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear, what do we put on, and all of these things the heathen seek after. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added. So endure hardness is first, verse 3. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life in verse 2, in verse 4, number 2. And then it says, the reason is, there's the motive, that you may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So you want to please your commanding officers. You want to obey orders. And I believe that whether you're a pastor or a full-time minister or a Christian or whatever you're doing, all of us here tonight, right now, we should have one desire, and that one desire is what? To please God, amen? To be pleasing to God, to be obedient to God. So the imagery of a soldier, the hardships, the difficulties, the need to stay focused, don't get entangled in other things, stay consecrated and concentrated on the task at hand. Then he moves to the athlete, verse 5. If any man also strive for the masteries. Now, that's the picture of the Greek Olympic Games. And the Greeks were really into the Greek Olympics. And they were really into the running and the wrestling and the javelin throw and all of the stuff that happened in the arena. And so you have to prepare by discipline. Now, they actually had a requirement that for at least 9 months prior to the event, that each contestant practiced and trained and disciplined himself preparing for his event. If you didn't do that, you'd be disqualified. So you're striving for the masteries. Now, you won't be crowned, or you won't get the reward, or you won't win the event, except you do what? Verse 5. You strive lawfully. So you have to obey the rules. So the soldier stays focused, endures hardness, and the athlete disciplines and trains and works hard to prepare for the race. We think of the Olympics today. Those people will train with great rigor, you know, discipline and diet and exercise for like 4 years for a single event. And it's unbelievable the energy and effort they put into it. And so he's telling them the ministry is difficult. Serving the Lord is hard. It takes dedication. And you have to strive according to the law. So you can't break the rules. You have to run in your lane. You have to obey the laws of the race in order to win the prize. And then notice thirdly, verse 6. The farmer, though King James has husbandmen that labors. So we have the soldier that has hardships. We have the athlete that is striving. And then we have the farmer who is laboring. What all three of these images have in common? Hard, hard work. Almost makes me tired right now. You're in a war. You're in a race. And you're farming. Oh, come on, farmers. They just ride around on a tractor, you know, with a piece of straw in their mouth with their suspenders on. No. Farming is hard work. I don't know from experience, but I did plant a garden one time, only once, never again. I buy my veggies. With so much work that I just said, I don't want to do that. But can you imagine having a farm? They work from sun up to sundown. And they have to fight the elements. They have to till the soil. They have to plant the seed. Another thing about farming is you have to be patient, right? Remember when I planted my garden? It's okay, come on, I want to eat. Took forever. And then finally it started to sprout and grow, and then the gophers came in and got it before I did. Ripped me off. So farming is difficult. Ministry is difficult. It's a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. I'll just stop right there. Satan doesn't like pastors. He doesn't like Christians. He didn't like you. He didn't like your marriage. It's running a race. In the Greek Olympics, they had wrestling. They would wrestle, you know. Wrestling is difficult. Boxing. They had boxing. Boxing is difficult. It's exhausting. And they're farming. Farming is hard work, and it takes patience. But the fruit, when you win the war, blessing. When you run the race and win and you get the crown, and by the way, their crown was a little laurel wreath, just a little kind of a headband of little leaves that they put on, and then they would just wither up after a day or two. At least athletes said you get a gold, silver, or bronze medal. You know, you got trophies in boxes in your garage that you were so proud of when you got them, and they're all just covered with dust today. But we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. We're doing it for a crown that won't fade away, that's reserved for us forever in heaven. Now, in each one of these images, and we could spend a lot of time on it, we need to move on, but the soldier has a sword. What is the sword? It's the Word of God. The athlete has the rule book. He must strive according to the rules. We have the Word of God as our guide. And the farmer has the seed, which is the Word of God, that he sows, and it brings forth fruit. I think every minister's ministry should be Bible-centered, that you use the sword of the Spirit, you follow and serve the Lord according to the Word of God, and you sow the seed, which is the Word of God, which brings forth fruit. So every one of these three pictures carries with it the imagery of the Word of God, as well as focus for the soldier, dedication for the athlete, and diligence for the farmer the fruit will come. And it says there that he is also to be first partaker, verse 6, of the fruit. So he does all the work. He gets to benefit from it and eat the fruit of his labor. Now, in verse 7, there's another call to duty, and that is a call to understand the meaning behind these three pictures. Look at verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. So he basically gives them the three pictures, and then he says, I want you to consider these pictures. Now, the word consider means to think deeply, intelligently, and rationally. It means to use your mind and to think down upon. And then he says, the Lord will give you understanding in all things. I like the idea in that one verse that, again, there's our part and there's God's part. Our part is to use our minds and to think about these things. And you should take these images tonight and go home with them and muse on them, meditate on them, think about them. You should take doctrines from the Bible and think about them and meditate on them and ask God to show you their significance and their meaning for you. Don't just listen to the sermon and then go home and forget about it. Take notes, reread it, go back over it. You know what I do on Wednesday night a lot of times after I get home? I go back and restudy what I just preached. And I start seeing things that I missed or I didn't say or I didn't see. And I kind of go back over because it just solidifies it in my own heart. So the scripture says, think about what I'm saying. And then the Lord is the one who gives you the understanding. So there's our part, that is to study and to think and to meditate. And there's God's part, which is to bring illumination to the understanding of God's word. Now he closes in verse 8 to 13, and I won't tarry on these verses, but he closes with now motivation to duty. And I love the way this section closes. And I took all 13 verses because it is one unit. So now he gives a motivation for duty. Let's read it. He says, remember Jesus Christ, who is of the seed of David. He was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul means that's the gospel that I preach. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, in this section, he gives basically four things to motivate Timothy and us to being faithful servants of the Lord. I want to point them out. The first thing he tells us to do is remember Jesus, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, there's a lot that can be said about that verse, but basically this is the thrust of what Paul is doing. He's saying, Timothy, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He's really doing just that. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know why we get discouraged in the Lord's work? You know why we get discouraged living the Christian life? We get our eyes off of Jesus Christ.
Today we heard that the primary job of the pastor is to teach the Word of God to the congregation. And secondly, he's to teach faithful men who can teach others. We learned about the importance of steadfast endurance, not only for a pastor, but in the life of the believer. Now, Paul used the analogy of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. The farmer faces hardship and difficulty and must stay focused. The athlete disciplines himself, trains, and follows the rules. The farmer labors and waits patiently. And then Paul wrote, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Today, Pastor John reminded and encouraged us to be those who study and think on God's word as we listen and wait for God to give us understanding. Revival listeners, this month we have a special offer for you. We'd like to send you a free copy of Pastor John's booklet called Recommended Reading. Now, this is a wonderful resource. It's a concise study tool for any Christian wanting to grow in their understanding of the Scripture. What has happened is Pastor John Miller has put together, he's compiled, an extensive list of books he recommends that pertain to each book of the Bible. And he's assembled it very concisely organized in a wonderful booklet called Recommended Reading. Simply go to our store at revival.tv, order your free copy today. No strings attached. Give us your info, we'll ship it right out to you. Again, go to our store, revival.tv. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us today. And we hope you can tune in next time. Don't miss an episode. Until then, may each of us continue to preach the word. Be ready in season and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.